Now, if you will, open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I believe we received a token of the presence of the Lord in the service this morning. I was much in prayer here while you were singing that God would give me some liberty to preach this message. Then I called on Brother Huddle to pray, and his prayer consisted of my opening comments. All things are of God. Verse 18, look at it. All things are of God. He kept saying, I believe the Spirit of God was leading him to pray in this manner, all things are of God. Underscore that. All things are of God. All things in creation are of God. Scripture says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. All things are of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. All things in creation are of God. God created man. He said, let us make man in our own image. And the psalmist said in Psalms 100, it is God that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are of God. All things are of God. And all things in providence are of God. The scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And the heathen said, where is your God? And David said, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. All things are of God. All things in creation are of God. All things in providence are of God. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose, for all things are of God. And the end of all things is of God. Turn to Acts 17. I want you to read this scripture with me. The 17th chapter of Acts, verse 31. The end of all things is of God. Acts 17, verse 31. Listen to it. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world. He hath appointed that day, that last day. He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. God hath appointed a day. Job wrote in chapter 14, man's days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast set his bounds, and he cannot pass. No man knoweth the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall come. No, not even the angels, but the Father. All things are of God. All things in creation, all things in providence, and the end of all things is of God. And then salvation from sin. Eternal death, condemnation, separation from God. That salvation is of the Lord. All things pertaining to salvation are of the Lord. Now that's what the text is all about. Let's go back to the text now. 2 Corinthians 5. All things are of God pertaining to salvation. He hath reconciled us to Himself. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God. Now we know this. The scripture is bifocal. When we read the Word of God, it has a primary interpretation. It has a primary purpose. But it also has other purposes and other meanings and other applications. And we say all things are of God in creation, in providence, in everything. But the primary application here is salvation. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about the forgiveness of sin. We're talking about pardon. We know that because look at the next line. and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he hath given to us the ministry or the message of reconciliation. It was not man who fashioned the covenant of grace. It was God. Back before the foundation of this world, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit entered into a covenant to redeem man. It was not man that sought God. It was God that sought man. Adam ran from God. Adam hid from God. It was the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit who entered into a covenant, an everlasting covenant, the Scripture calls it. A covenant of grace, a covenant of mercy to save a people for his name. It was not man who sent the prophets. There was a man sent from God whose name was Isaiah. There was a man sent from God whose name was Jeremiah. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Christ said, "You will not come to me, I come to you." There's none that seeketh God, no, not one. There's none that understand it. God seeks the sinner. It is not man who made the atonement. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son into the world, made of a woman. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. It pleased the Father to bruise him. The Lord hath laid on him. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was not man who made the atonement. It was God who made the atonement. It was not man who called to us. "I have called," he said, "and you have refused." It was God who called to us. It was not man who called to God. It was God who called man. Paul said, "God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he was pleased to reveal his Son to me." It was not man, but God who called. It was not man, but God who sought. It was not man, but God who loved. Herein is love, not that we loved him, he loved us and gave himself for us. And it's not man, but God who keeps us. We're kept by the power of God through faith. And now Jude said, "Unto him who is able to keep you from falling." It is not man, but God who presents us faultless before his throne of grace with exceeding glory. And it's not man, but God who raises the dead into his perfect image. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians the 3rd chapter, verse 20 and 21. Listen to this scripture. "For our conversation," that is our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." It's all of God. All things are of God. Beginning with creation and providence, all things are of God. But in this matter of the salvation of the soul, of the redemption of the soul, of the forgiveness of sin, of our relationship and our vital union with God, it's all of the Lord. David said, "The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord and of him only." We go back to the covenant of mercy, and that's all of God. We go back to the crucifixion of Christ, and that's all of God. We go back to the day when we were awakened and quickened and convicted of our sin, and that is of God. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. We go back to that faith that clings to Christ and looks to Christ, that faith that embraces Christ, that faith that lays hold upon Christ, that faith that, if you would, accepts Christ, and that's of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, and it's the goodness of God that gives us faith. Preacher, are you saying that faith is the gift of God? Exactly. Unto you it is given not only to believe on him, but to suffer for him. And your perseverance, that's of God. And your resurrection, that's of God. and you're being conformed to the image of His Son in perfection, that's of God. All things are of God. You can underscore that and improve on that again and again and again beyond what I have said this morning. All things are of God. All things. Not some things, not the big thing. All things are of God. He is the first cause of all things. I was talking to someone this past week about this. All things are of God, because it was on my mind. Over in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 45 or 46, the Lord says, I form the light. I create darkness. I, the Lord, do all these things. I create good. I create evil. You say, how can God create evil? How can God form the darkness? God is light. That's how God forms the darkness. By withholding the light. But God is the first cause of all things, although God's not the author of sin. All things are of God. God Almighty creates darkness, and God Almighty creates evil by the absence of His presence. That's right. Pharaoh hardened his heart. No question about that. Pharaoh hardened his heart. He refused to let Israel go. Moses said, God declares, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I won't let them go. He hardened his heart. But what saith the scriptures? God hardened his heart. Isn't that what it says? Would you want to explain that? What do you say? I say this, God hardened his heart. God is the first cause of all things. God hardened his heart by withholding those means that would have broken his heart. That's right. All things are of God. You take that scripture and underline it and remember it. All things in creation are of God. All things in providence are of God. God said, I maketh men high and I make men low. I maketh rich and I make them poor. Health is of God and bad health is of God. Life is of God and death is of God. He has the keys of hell and death. I'm not preaching a little peanut God that comes when you snap your finger. I'm preaching the God of the Bible now, the God of the universe. There's nothing outside of God. All things are in God. God is not in all things. God, all things are in God and of God and from God and through God and because of God. That's what I'm saying. All things are of God. Not all good things. That's not what it says. It doesn't say all happy things are of God. It says all things are of God. Now, I may shock you when I say this, but it's so. You've got to make a choice. You're going to serve the gods over on the other side of the Jordan, or you're going to serve the God of the Bible. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. That's what the prophet said. But there's not a person here this morning God couldn't save. Not a person here. There's not a person in this city that God can't save. There's not a person in this nation that God couldn't break right now and bring to His feet in submission, in repentance, in faith. Not a person. Using the same means that He used to convert you. Using the same means He used to break your heart. Using the same gospel and the same light and the same Holy Spirit and the same message of grace that He used to bring you to repentance and faith, He could bring any sinner to repentance and faith. Any sinner. That's what the leper said when he fell at the feet of Christ. Lord, if You will, You can make me whole. There isn't a sick person God can't heal. Not a one. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed this, I thank Thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and Thou hast revealed them unto babes. You say, why doesn't God do these things? Even so, Father, it seemed good in Thy sight. God acts according to His wisdom. God saves men according to His wisdom. God Almighty does everything according to His wisdom. I'm not God. I can't explain it, but I can preach it. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you it's so. All things are of God. Satan derives his power from God. Satan couldn't touch Job without God's permission. He asked permission, and God gave it to him. And God limited his power and limited his efforts as far as Job was concerned. Is that not true? All things are of God. What's the second glorious theme? Now, that's the first theme. All things are of God. All things are of God. Otherwise, why praise him? Why look to him? Why depend on him? Why thank him? All things are of God. Now, the second glorious theme is this. Who hath reconciled us to himself? Who hath reconciled us to himself? Now, in these next four verses, in 18, 19, 20, and 21, we have the same three persons mentioned. Look at verse 18. I want you to notice this. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Three persons mentioned in that verse. God, us, Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse, verse 19. God was in Christ reconciling the world. That's God, Christ, and us, or the world. Verse 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, be you reconciled to God. God, Christ, and us. Look at verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. That's the theme of these four verses here. God, Christ, and us. Now let's look at these three persons. Here is God. Let every man know who God is. Everybody's got a God. But who knows the living God? Do you? David said, my heart panteth, my soul panteth for the living God. I don't want to worship a false God, a dead God. A God who has ears and can't hear, and a mouth and can't speak, and hands and can't perform, and feet and can't walk. I want to know the living God. I want to know this God of whom are all things, don't you? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. This is eternal life, to know the living God. Now, if the Bible says all things are of God, that's the God I want to know. If the Bible says God will have mercy on whom he'll have mercy, that's the God I want to know. If the Bible says God will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, that's the God I want to know. If the Bible said God sitteth upon a throne of judgment and righteousness and holiness, that's the God I want to know. I want to know the God who is eternal, of whom it is said, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Nothing else, just God. In the beginning, God. I want to know the God who's omnipotent, who has absolute power, unquestioned power, absolute authority, absolute control, who controls even the mist and the vapor and the dust and the specks and the atoms and all the insects. I want to know the God who's omniscient, who declares the end from the beginning and says, I work all things after the counsel of my own will. O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Cannot he that formed the clay make it in the image he desires? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make of one lump a vessel of mercy and another lump of vessel of wrath? Isn't it his to do with? Can I not do, God said, with my own what I will? Is it not mine? Was it not mine to begin with? That's the God I want to know. I want to know that God who's omnipresent, who is in every place beholding the evil and the good, of whom David said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall guide me and hold me. That's the God I want to know. I don't want to know the Baptist God or the Methodist God or the Presbyterian God or the Catholic God or anybody else's God. I want to worship and know and love and adore and stand in fear and awe of the living God. I want to know the God who is holy, whom Isaiah saw high and lifted up on a throne. And the angels and cherubims cried, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." I want to know the God who is just, who will in no wise clear the guilty. I want to know the God who is merciful, who delights to show mercy, with whom there's plenty of mercy. Oh God, when the psalmist met God, he said, "Oh God, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy hands, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" The God that's being preached today is not the God of the Bible. The God who is being preached today is the God who's man's valet and servant. Somebody said one time to a man, "You think God will take you to heaven when you die?" He said, "Why, sure, that's what God's for." But the psalmist said, "Oh Lord, when I consider the heavens, when I consider the work of thy hands, when I consider thy attributes, thy holiness, thy sovereignty, thy power, who holdeth the nations as a drop in the bucket, and considereth the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" What is man? And yet it says here, "God, of whom are all things, he hath reconciled us." He hath taken notice of our plight. He hath taken notice of our condition. He hath taken notice of our state. He hath taken notice of our corruption. And in mercy and his grace, he hath reconciled us. He is pleased to do something for us. Here is good news from God. Look at the next person. We have God. We have Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, you have the answer right here. Look at verse 19. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? To some people, he's just a curse word. To some people, he's a great healer. To some people, he's an unusual prophet. To some people, he is a defeated reformer. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this man called Jesus? Well, here, look at verse 19. Here it is. God was in Christ. God, this God we're talking about, of whom all things, in creation and providence and salvation, this God who is eternal, who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, holy, just, merciful, this God is in Christ. That's who he is. He is the only begotten Son, not made, begotten. He came from the Father. He is the only begotten of the Father, begotten of the Father from all eternity. He is the same with the Father in essence, in nature, in power, co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. He is the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the express image of the Father's person. Who is he? He's God. God was in Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's who he is. Who is Jesus Christ? Paul said they'll come preaching another Jesus. But I'm telling you who Jesus is. God was in Jesus Christ. He's the God-man. He's God in the flesh. He's God incarnate. What did he do? Well, here's the gospel. He undertook to be our representative. Yea, even before he became a man,
He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is no sudden decision on the part of God. Jesus Christ is no finger in the dike. Jesus Christ is no sudden remedy for sin. He was the Savior before the sin. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. He was the Savior before sin. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's our surety of an eternal covenant. He's the guarantor. His blood is the blood of the eternal covenant. Before God ever made one thing. That's what Scripture says. He made Christ the Savior. He's our representative from all eternity past to eternity future. He's our representative in all things. He came into this world one day, 2,000 years ago. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, the man, Christ Jesus. He was our representative in the purpose of God, in the covenant of God, in the plan of God, in the types of God, and now in the flesh. He took on Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He who knew no sin, who had no sin, not only did no sin, but knew no sin, was made sin. And by His obedience, somebody asked me last week, what does imputed mean? Imputed righteousness. It means to charge it to my account. It means to make it mine when it wasn't. He never knew sin, and He was made sin, and I never knew righteousness, and I was made righteous. He never had any sin, and God made Him sin for me. And I never had any righteousness, and God made me righteous in His place. He paid my bill. He charged it. Everything He did, He charged to my account as if I had done it. That's what imputed means. He took my sins in His body to the tree. The Lord laid on Him purposely the penalty of our sin, the iniquity of us all. And He died under the wrath of the Father for our sin. And He arose. And He ever lives to intercede at the right hand of God. He is our great high priest. Look at the third person here now. God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world. Who are these people here? He hath made Him to be sin for us. He hath reconciled us. He was made sin for us. Who is the sinner here? Well, you don't have to go very far to find Him. You look in your own heart, and there He is. There He is. Want me to tell you something about sin? I told you something about God this morning. All things are of God. Sovereign, almighty, omnipotent. I've told you something about Christ. He is God. He's the surety from eternity past to eternity future. You've never been considered by the Father out of Christ. Never. Tell you something about us. You may not like this, but this is so too. We sinned in Adam. You've been a sinner since before you was born. Somebody said, we become sinners when we reach the age of accountability. You were a sinner before you was ever born. You were born a sinner. That's right. Now listen to the Bible. I'm not talking about what it says in your church catechism or creed. I'm talking about what God says. Listen to what God says. In Adam, we all died. Isn't that what it said? As in Adam, all died for all sin. That's what it says. By the disobedience of one, we were made sinners. Made sinners. David said, I was shapen in iniquity. I was conceived in sin. 9 months before you ever came forth into this world, when the seed was planted in the womb of your mother, it was a sinful seed. And it developed into a sinful baby, and that baby grew into a sinful man. That's right.
That's what the Bible says. The wicked go astray from the womb, speaking lies as soon as they're born. The only way that a newborn baby can lie is because he's a liar. He's born a liar. When Adam fell, the whole race fell. You say, I can't buy that. Can't you now? You gonna stand on that? You cannot buy imputed guilt. You cannot enter into being charged with the sin of another. You going to stand on that? Yes, the preacher. I'll stand right there. I'm quitting you on that. I'm standing right there. Okay, you'll never be saved. How come? You say Adam sinned before you was born and you had no part in it? Christ died before you was born, dude. Did you have any part in that? Huh? You want imputed righteousness, don't you? You want credit for something Christ did 2,000 years ago, but you don't want a part in what Adam did, huh? That's dishonest. That's dishonest. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. So, the scripture says, by Christ's obedience, we were made righteous. You can't partake in what Christ did if you refuse what Adam did. That's dishonest. You say, I wasn't born when Adam sinned. You wasn't born when Christ died either. You wasn't born when Christ died. See, Adam was our representative. Adam was the federal head of every flesh-bearing creature. The federal head, the representative. We stood in him. We fell in him. We inherited from him a nature of evil. That's why babies are covetous and sinful and so forth. Christ was the head of a race of redeemed people, a race of believers. And Christ came down here as their representative and did what they couldn't do, obeyed the law and died in their place. He suffered on the cross. We're sinners in word, thought, and deed. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. We've turned everyone to his own way. We're guilty and condemned by the law of God. And Christ came down here and was made sin for us. Now, the last great theme, and I'll quit. Look at verse 18 again. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us. God's put away the enmity. God's put away that which was between us and him. And God hath given to us the message of reconciliation. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. And this message to you I give. It's recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. That's the message. I have a message full of love. Hallelujah. A message, oh, my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above. Hallelujah. The Lord said it, so I know it's true. Life is offered unto you. Hallelujah. Eternal life thy soul shall have if you'll only look to Christ. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus, who alone can save. I'll tell you how I came. Hallelujah. To Jesus when he made me whole. 'Twas just believing on his name. Hallelujah. I trusted and he saved my soul. But this message of reconciliation, now don't ever forget this, this message of reconciliation which he had given to us to deliver to you is a message that God will be reconciled only on the grounds of substitution. Not on the grounds of service, not on the grounds of promise for future obedience, not on the grounds of ceremony, on the grounds of substitution. Let's look at it again. All things are of God, and he hath reconciled us. He hath put away the enmity by Jesus Christ. Not by baptism, by Jesus Christ. Not by good works, by Jesus Christ. Not by decisionism and ceremonialism and legalism and ritualism and any other ism. He hath reconciled us by Christ. Look at verse 19. Namely, this is the message. God was in Christ
reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he hath committed unto us that message of reconciliation. And that message is this: he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our Father, take this message and use it for thy great glory and for the good and benefit of thy people. Let every one of us bow before thy sovereignty and before thy holiness, and let us own that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. And let us look unto thee, from whom cometh salvation. Look unto me, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there's none else, a just God and a Savior, who hath reconciled us to thyself through the merits and mercy and substitutionary work of thy dear Son. We rest in that and thank thee for it. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Don, you come lead us in a closing hymn.
Let's turn to number 46. Number 46. Stand, please.
Oh, for a thousand.